Thought Leader Thursdays are sponsored by Associated Bank. Whether you're buying, building, or refinancing a home, Associated Bank is dedicated to finding the right mortgage solution for you. Visit associatedbank.com/thoughtleadership. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
We're on this morning with Doug Myers, the Senior Vice President and Private Banking Regional Manager at Associated Bank. Doug, good morning. Welcome back.
Hi, thank you, Steve. Good morning.
I want to focus our conversation on, at least at the beginning here, retirements. I joke a lot with friends about how is it that I could maybe retire tomorrow and never come back to work. Some people have actually been having that conversation and doing it. How has the pandemic impacted their decision?
You know, it's interesting, all the social experiments going on that we've lived through with this pandemic, but a little bit of research here, Steve. Some 28.6 million baby boomers said they were now out of the workforce due to retirement. And this is as of the third quarter of last year, 2020. Now, a little bit of context. The baby boomers, which are ages 55 to 73, number almost 72 million people. Right behind them are Gen Xers, Generation X, the ages 39 to 54. And they represent 65 million people. And then behind them are the millennials, which is ages 23 to 38. And they represent 72 million. So roughly a third, a third, a third. So if you say that 28 million baby boomers are retiring, that's 40% of the boomers, which represent 30% of the workforce. And you know, they're saying that they might retire, or they did retire in the last year, 2019, and they might say maybe for some they face their mortality and said, I'm done. Why work? Kind of what you were joking about. And I think this is particularly evident with women. Now, obviously, this means the biggest risk in this is you have to make sure your savings last longer and go further, putting pressure on your investment portfolio to retire. And hopefully your base is sufficient to accommodate your standard of living, but that's not always true. I think, unfortunately, many older workers aren't prepared for this. Research has shown just over half of the households with the workers aged 55 to 64, which is the category we're talking about, have retirement accounts with a median value of $134,000, which doesn't seem very much. This translates to only about $7,500 income per year for men and actually 7% less for women. So obviously Social Security is going to have to help bridge this gap. But you have to realize if you take Social Security early, let's say at 62 versus 67 or even 70, that can drastically reduce your benefits. Excuse me. Another issue with early retirement is bridging the gap for Medicare and paying for health care. And a couple of ways to bridge this gap for the Medicare when you hit 65, you can maybe get covered by your spouse's workplace insurance, which is fairly common. Excuse me. Or you can take out COBRA from your workplace if you retire early, and COBRA might allow you to use the same expense for your healthcare expenses for the next 18 months. So that can help you bridge over your healthcare in this time period. Does that make sense?
It does. You know, on the healthcare note, I saw one statistic that said that the average 65-year-old couple would spend about $300,000 in retirement on healthcare. That's not including any long-term care. So the healthcare question and issue is a big part of this equation, isn't it?
It is a huge part, and obviously I was looking at an average worker cost. You know, they might be paying, $500 to $700 a month for health care if you're working. And if you're under the COBRA that I previously mentioned, you might spend about $1,500 a month. But without Medicare, without COBRA and Medicare, that expense might go up to $3,000 a month, which is pretty significant. As you referenced, now once you hit Medicare at age 65, that cost might be $200 to $600 depending on your family. So that's a drastic decrease once you hit that 65 for Medicare age.
Doug, no, people have suggested that perhaps if you're thinking about retiring, that you do a test run on retirement. What would that look like?
I think some people try that and maybe they get bored and go back to work, maybe part-time, maybe they consult, maybe they start their own business of some sort, maybe related to what they were doing before in their career. And sometimes that works and sometimes it doesn't. So I think people are trying that. Maybe they're too young to retire, but they're burned out, or they're, you know, as we previously talked about, they're just sick of the corporate life, perhaps. And so I think they're trying different things in this new world after pandemic. You know, they've worked at home. They've realized they can be efficient and productive working at home, and they might not need that office lifestyle, so to speak.
Yeah, the RAND Corporation said 39% of workers age 65 and older have already retired once. So quite a few people have already tested the waters.
Yeah, it's interesting. And I think it's kind of uncharted territory as we go forward, coming back out of this pandemic. So I think this pandemic is really, as I said earlier, it's been a social study of a lot of different things and different habits and of people doing different things during this time period.
And that's a good segue to the next topic, next question I wanted to ask you about, and that is that this pandemic has really changed things for the people who are providing and managing our 401ks. Talk to us a little bit about, is it work from home? Is it the change in office structure? What's changing about how they do their business?
Well, I think what we refer to is these administrative companies that administer your 401ks are called TPAs, which stand for third-party providers. And, you know, they're figuring out, okay, their staff can work from home and be efficient. They have a lower expense base, which is better for all of us, because if they have a lower expense base in their platform, then hopefully the savings can transmit to a little bit of our increased benefits for your 401ks. So you've got a lower expense base, and that includes maybe less rent because they need less space as a company, or they might curtail travel. And I know a lot of companies are curtailing travel, which means lower expenses, but not necessarily lower FaceTime, not less FaceTime, because you've got Zoom and Microsoft Teams or WebEx and all these platforms now that enable us to communicate face-to-face on the computer. So, you know, you might not have to pick up and fly to Dallas anymore. You can just talk to your customers on the computer. And so I think that's drastically changing the 401k business.
Yeah, as someone like yourself who's in the wealth management business, I know that you pride yourself on having the face-to-face interaction, the one-on-one interaction. Is there a danger with removing too much of that people will be turned off by all of this?
I don't know. It's too early to tell. I know we have many client conversations via Zoom now, and it seems to be working fine with our clients and us as well. So we'll just have to see how that all plays out.
And there's another big story that I want to get your opinion on while we have you on this morning, and that is, you know, yesterday we saw the inflation numbers come out, and they're the highest they've been in about 12 years. I know Janet Yellen, the Treasury Secretary, the former Fed Chair, said higher interest rates may be needed to prevent the economy from overheating. Talk to us a little bit about, from an investment standpoint, from your vantage point, what all that means.
Well, certainly we might be looking at higher interest rates. And it's interesting because yesterday, Janet Yellen, as you said, she said, let me be clear, higher interest rates is not something I'm predicting or recommending. But she certainly appreciates the independence of the Fed now that she's on the other side in the cabinet of the administration. And so she's kind of giving hints that interest rates might go up. But at the same time, they seem to be tilting higher. But some of the Fed personnel, in fact, Jerome Powell, who's the Fed chairman, came out and said this rise in prices might be transitory. And so he's a little bit cautious in saying that while inflation might be increasing, it's still below the 2% benchmark. But I just saw today where the conflicting consumer price index rose about 4% in April. And the consumer price increase includes everything but food and gasoline and fuel. But as we know, food prices are up and fuel prices are up. So it looks like we're in an inflationary stage. He cautions to say it's very unlikely that we're going to have inflation, hyperinflation of double digits like the 70s. And they have many tools, the Fed has many tools at their disposal to be able to stem inflation. You know, they can raise interest rates, they can tighten money supply, they can open market operations, they can change the Fed funds rate, they can change the discount rate, they can change the reserve requirements. So there's a lot of things, a lot of tools the Fed has in their toolbox to stem inflation. And where this goes, we'll just have to see. You know, the administration is putting a lot of money into the economy right now. The Fed says that's transitory. We'll see how it all plays out.
You know, these decisions could impact financial planning for consumers and for the clients you deal with as well, right?
It sure can. And, you know, we've enjoyed a good market in the past, I would say, you know, certainly the last few months. You know, once again, when you talk about financial planning, you have your goals and you're diversified and you stick with your plan, you stick with your diversification, you stick with your roadmap, and you ride it out, because we've seen the markets go up, we've seen the markets go down, elections, people come and go, and you just have to be diligent and very determined in your roadmap and financial plan to stay the course.
Doug, great conversation as always. How can people get a hold of you and have a one-on-one if they want?
They can call me at 312-544-4600. We'd love to have a conversation around your financial goals and financial planning. And that's what we do in our wealth group.
Doug, thank you for being on with us this morning. We'll see you again next time.
Thank you very much, Steve. Thank you.